Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, what a treat, Jason. Are you ready for a Tuesday visit from Joey Harrington?
Normally, I have to build up throughout the course of the week. So, you know, this is throwing me off my game a little bit. Like, the excitement hasn't built quite as much. So, I'm a little nervous.
So you're not excited to see me?
Nervous.
Well, let's be honest. You guys threw me the curveball as you called me.
It's
and
true.
It's like, hey, we've got a Friday Duck game. And, you know,
Right. Apparently
the Ducks are more important than your guys' show. So we're not going to be on. So we need to find another day to do it.
Well, there's a lot of things more important than our show. I mean, like Oregon football.
Like what?
High school football?
Yeah, high school football. Yeah, you know, women's
what
golf.
Else? What else?
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
You?
Yeah.
No, stop it.
Your wonderful vest you're wearing right now.
It's that tweener time
God,
of year,
you're
right?
So right.
It's good vest weather. You know?
I wore a vest today, too, and you're so right. It's vest weather because you got to keep the torso warm.
But it could be like 60 by the end
That's
of the day.
Right. Yeah. That's
or it
right.
could rain. Yeah.
That's right.
You know? So it's a little cold in the morning.
The vest is like the Swiss Army knife.
Love
of the,
it.
For men, like around this time, you'll notice women all, for whatever reason, are wearing some sort of weird cape and tall boots. When
cape.
Fall, when yeah, they like a
the
shawl.
Weird cape. I think that's the technical term for it. It came out of
everything's weird.
Vienna and and Milan. The weird cape is
Look
the new
around.
Fall fashion.
It's like the they just took like a blanket and they cut a hole out of the middle of it, and you just kind of throw that on, and then you got to wear the tall boots. That's the women's fall wardrobe.
Okay.
And then for men, it's vest weather.
Okay.
That's when the vest comes out. It's you know, kind of a universal wardrobe for men and women come this time of year.
Fair enough. I didn't realize that Suk was such a fashionista.
He's got opinions on everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Joey is in today because, well...
Because you're not here on Friday.
Yeah, the Colorado game is kicking us off the air on Friday. And for the last 3 weeks, dispensing justice...
Like a hammer.
Yeah, I bet.
The hammer of justice.
I bet. Now, let me ask you this about that. I know you can't talk about it, obviously.
I can.
Oh, you can?
I'm full. I'm ready to go. Case is done.
Did you fry him up?
Oh, guilty as you and you. No, we ended in a hung jury and a mistrial.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
3 weeks of testimony and 3 days of deliberation. And by about 10 a.m., 11 o'clock on the third day, we said, look, we're not getting anywhere.
What did he do?
Well, so
it was
a civil case. It was a civil case.
Uh-huh.
And it was a an employee filing suit against Union Pacific Railroad.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, so.
Now, there wasn't any issue with your famous face being on the panel? I mean, it's like you're famous. Everybody knows you. So, like, how...
Well, one, that's making a big assumption. That's a big jump.
So nobody in there knew you.
That's what you're assuming that everybody in... Okay, I didn't say that either. What you're doing is you're assuming that everybody in the Portland metropolitan area thinks like you do in the terms of sports talk radio, right?
No, but, I'm not assuming that. I just think that they would know who you are.
You're a recognizable figure.
Yeah. Yeah, and
does
I don't
that
think,
mean I can't be unbiased?
No, but I think it does mean that they would probably kick you out. Like if the perp knew you, well, it's a civil case. So if anybody knew you, I would think they wouldn't allow that.
But I didn't know anybody on. But I didn't know them,
okay.
And that's the question.
Okay.
You know, they asked if I knew any of the lawyers or the witnesses, and no, you know, I did have a funny moment though. I'm walking out of the jury room into the jury box, and I walk right by somebody that I make eye contact with. She works at the Rose Garden, and she's right. She works in the section right where our tickets are, and, you know, say hello and, you know, talk to her every game. And I walked right by her in the gallery is what they call it. And I had that moment like, oh God, is she going to be testifying? Is she going to, is she a, related to the plaintiff? Is there some sort of connection here? Like, the last thing I want is to have some issue, you know, some mistrial at the end comes out that, you know, Joey didn't say anything. So I got to the jury box and, you know, the judge starts to go down. All right, you know, let's call the next witness. And I raised my hand and said, Your Honor, I have something I think I need to talk with you in chambers about. And I told him, I was like, scandalous. Look, I know.
Nice.
And I told him, look, I recognize that woman. I know where she's from. I, you know, other than just pleasantries and saying hello and, you know, how are you doing? I don't know anything more than that. But I just wanted to make you aware of that. Come to find out that it was the defense attorney's mother-in-law.
No.
So it had no impact.
Had no impact okay. in the... And she just happened to be there. And I had no idea. And he said, when we talked about her afterwards, or at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, at the end of the trial, when you find out, you're just going to kind of laugh. And I did.
Yeah. And I did.
And I did.
Nice.
Well, and, Joey's and then I found $20.
Normally with us at 5:30 on Fridays.
Righteous
but,
bucks.
Oregon football this week, so we've moved it to Tuesday. But back in studio, so that's nice. Now, everybody's griping about Oregon's offense. That's the big thing. While you were away dispensing justice, actually.
Hammer of justice.
Hung jury.
The hammer of balance.
Oregon wins, but nobody's satisfied with that.
I'm gonna go ahead and say you're jumping and you're
a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you know that's what we do.
When okay. people get angry, they tweet.
Hyperbole. Yeah.
And then we take that as some sort of universal truth. In case you didn't
right.
know.
Got it.
Yeah.
Continue.
Welcome to 2000. What is this?
19.
I think it's 19.
There you go.
So great offensive line, stud quarterback. Why is the offense not better?
Because they don't have any superstars at running back or wide receiver. I mean, that's true. They have very good. They got some good players, but they're not game changers. And I think also, look, this is a bigger issue or a bigger topic. Which good thing I'm in studio and we have a couple segments to talk about it. This is 10, 15 years of Oregon fans being spoiled. This is and when I say spoiled, I mean getting so used to just explosive offensive performances at every moment that they think that's normal. But it's also a change of culture, too. And you have to look at the bigger picture here. So Chip Kelly comes in and revolutionizes offensive football. I mean, what he was doing was so far ahead of the curve that you could just show up and, you know, kick off and you look up at the scoreboard and Oregon's up 40. And that's how it was for 10 games a season. Interestingly enough, though, what happened in those games when people, when Oregon was challenged, right? When they had to fight it out, when they had to gut out a win. So let's table that over here. Now you've got Coach Cristobal who has out and out said, and you know, frankly, I think we can all kind of agree, maybe to the detriment to, in the Auburn game, I'm going to establish a tough, hard-nosed, I don't want to say non-explosive, but that is kind of the byproduct of what he has established. Mm-hmm. Well, what has happened is they have a top 10 defense, not just in the, you know, not top 10 in the conference, like we're, you know, used to saying, hey, they're, you know, they're not last place in the Pac-12. No, they're giving up 9 points a game. This defense is incredible. And yes, offensively, they're not scoring 35, 40 a game, but they're efficient, right? This is Justin Herbert is 12th, 13th in passing efficiency.
Completing almost 70% of his passes.
Yeah, just threw his first interception first interception in game 5 of the season against a Cal defense that hasn't given up 3 touchdowns in almost a year and a half. Right? And so now you look at this from a, you know, say, more reasonable lens. This is an Oregon football team with a very good offensive line, with one of, if not the best quarterback in the country, and above average players around them. That doesn't, and a coaching staff that has established a tough, hard-nosed, grinded-out mentality on offense and defense. You combine that with what Oregon is used to seeing from Chip and his high-flying offense and only offense, and you've got a situation where you're looking at a picture saying, gosh, what's wrong? I look at the picture and say, you clean up a turnover, you can't turn the ball over in the red zone. Which exactly. And even if you get rid of 2 of them, you're still scoring 30 points in that game, which is going to win you lots and lots of football games. So I look at that and say, you got a defense that's top 10 in the country, That's giving up for the first time since 1964. I mean, it's something crazy that they've given up the fewest touchdowns through this point of the season in 50 years. You've got a quarterback who is, and I don't want to call him the best game manager, but I wouldn't want anybody else managing this game. And I've got an offensive line that is going to grind it out in November. And these, it's funny because this is the type of team that at some point Oregon fans wish they had 10 years ago, right? Yeah. This is the type of team that they wish they had when Toby Gerhart and Stanford was beating them. This is the type of team that they wish they had when Ohio State was beating them in the Rose Bowl. And this is, and or when Ohio State was beating them in the championship game, right? This is the type of team that you wanted to have to be able to stand up to those tough November, grind it out, Big Ten, SEC type opponents. And that's what you got now. But it's so foreign to what we've known that I think that we're really caught off guard and don't quite understand, you know, I don't say you don't understand what you're wishing for. Yeah, now let me say there are things you can clean up.
Well, it doesn't look as pretty.
Exactly.
Is the thing.
It doesn't look as flashy.
Well, my two things about it are, you know, outside of Auburn, which, you know,
Second half at Auburn,
right?
Smelly.
You haven't played a real offense yet, and it's going to get a lot harder. We know it's going to get a lot harder.
Fair.
But, you know, Cal is really bad offensively. Fair. Stanford is anemic. So the best offenses that you are going to play are still to come. And
true.
So I think some people look at that and say, you know, if you're struggling, you know, if you play this sort of offense, you know, this is where you're going to get nicked because you're not going to hold everyone to 9 points. You know, you're going to be in a lot of close games. Whether that leads to 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, you don't know. You're going to be in every game because of the defense, but I think that's where some people look at it and be like, the offense is going to have to be better when you play better offenses. The only part that I kind of scratch my head at a little bit is I get the idea of building a tough mentality, but the number of times they run into obvious run fronts where you're running into 8 and sometimes 9 men lurking around the box, and I don't know, the refusal to give, and this is where I wanted to ask you, the refusal to give Justin more control. I'm assuming by the time you were a senior, you had a lot of freedom in what you want to do. It doesn't appear to me that there's a whole lot here because they run into, even in first down, they do not audible out of seemingly, I'm not going to say insurmountable odds, but looks that just not even watching game film that I look at and be like, why are you running into that?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to that. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't know anything about the offense that they've installed. And I really don't know anything about their offensive philosophy.
Which is why I'm always afraid.
Exactly.
Everyone's an armchair quarterback and you're like, well, you should do this and that. I don't know. It's just from my lens that I watch. And again, it's not like I have all 22 and watching. I would be frustrated with the amount of times to me there's wasted downs trying to establish the tough culture.
Well, here's what I'll say. The only thing I can say in my experience, yes, I did have more control as a senior. I would say probably on a third of the calls, we would have, you know, we just called packages, a strong side run, a weak side run, and a pass based on, you know, you get up to the line of scrimmage, you know, whether the nose, you know, do you have a true nose over the top of the center? Do you have a one technique? What's your end doing? What's your coverage?
Well, it's just a count, right?
Exactly. I mean, right. But the way that I would almost has, I'm curious to know, I'd be curious to know myself because I didn't stand up and say, hey, check, 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 get out of this play. It was just built into the cadence, right?
Sure.
So you didn't need to make a big deal out of it. You know, I'd get up and I'd get, you know, get under center, you know, make my front call, you know, you're Ray or Lou, you're strong. Where's your mic backer? And, you know, 17, go, you know, said hi. And what, and everybody just knew. So I don't know if just because we don't see Justin standing up and making a big deal, checking out of something, if that means that he doesn't have control over it. But again, that's just a guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I wish I knew.
I just watched so many times Stanford, Cal, second half at Auburn, where, I mean, just everything is screaming run blitz. Everything is screaming you are attacking downhill, defenses slanting into plays, and you just, you're dying for him to pull the ball down and run with it or bootleg out or run a play action and try to hit someone over the top of the linebackers. And I think maybe that's where some of the frustration comes in with fans. But again, it's easy for fans to sit back and say, because you're not in the huddle, you're not in meetings.
Yeah, and we're so used to seeing just explosion after explosion from Oregon's offense. And frankly, I think we're at a point in football I guess rule changes have kept things balanced or imbalanced towards the offense, but I think where offense and defense, at least scheme wise, nobody's really has anything brand new and game changing right now.
Maybe Lincoln Riley.
To me, the league's a lot tougher. When you were talking about Chip Kelly rolling over teams, the league is much tougher. That Cal defense was damn good.
That Cal defense hasn't given up three touchdowns in a game in a year and a half.
And isn't that a middle of the pack sort of team in the Pac-12?
They're going to be a 7-win team.
I just feel like Oregon, my problem with all this, everything's right. I love what you said, Joey, about just sort of the expectations. But Sook's right, too, on his points. It's just that if they go 11-1 and win games the way they beat Cal, who cares, right? It feels like we're bitching about a 1-4 team. Dude, they are one play from being 5-0.
This is a
great football team.
Exactly.
And it just looks different. Their identity is different. And that's kind of like you said, I think it's the best point is that's what you wanted.
It's a bigger picture. It's looking at the minutiae of this game or this failed opportunity versus looking at the big picture and saying this team is set up to win a lot of games, especially late in the season. Yeah. They're set up to win those tough games. Now, they do have to clean some things up.
And Cristobal said that today. He was on with Dirt and Sprague. He knows that. But it's just like, I don't know. It seems like fans now will never be satisfied.
No, they won't. They won't. We can establish that.
Wanted to score 60 and beat everybody, but you couldn't beat the big boys, and now you're trying to build something to beat the big boys, and you're upset because you're not beating the also-rans by 60. You can't have it both ways.
There you go.
Let's put a pin in it. We'll come back and talk more about the Ducks, and I want to ask Joey about all the officiating blunders in the NFL. This is Joey Harrington, normally every Friday in studio. Today, because we don't have a show Friday due to the Ducks-Buffs game. He's brought to you by BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer where relationships matter, BMWPortland.com. More with Joey next on The Fan. All right, back in studio with Joey Harrington, who's visiting us Tuesday because Friday we have no show. You will hear Oregon, Colorado. Just wrapping up.
I can't come back Friday, though?
You can. We won't be
here. I was hoping to get two. No,
you going
really?
Again?
I was thinking about it, but it's
it's a kind of a
Friday night's
the kid.
Tough.
Oh, it's the kids. So my wife is actually she's up in Gonzaga this week, and she's finishing her psych mental health master's accreditation.
Oh, congrats!
Oh, she's a smart one. Yeah, but so I got the boys this weekend, and I was like, oh, after school, I'll just drive down, take them down to the Duck game, and I was like, yeah, it's a 7 o'clock game. Yeah. Game's over at 10:30. They got soccer the next morning. It's
Two and a half hour, 3 hour drive home in traffic.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
Call Phil, have him take you down in his plane.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Copter.
Happening?
Uber copter
Philly
now.
Baby.
Yeah. This actually might be, I think this is one that hopefully satisfies Oregon fan because Colorado doesn't play very good defense. There should be some points. But I kind of want to see Oregon's defense get tested. Outside of the, Auburn, I don't think they've played a real good offense. And Colorado can score. I don't know if Chenault's going to play. But even without him, if you watch Colorado, Colorado's exciting. So I think, as we mentioned, Cal was going to be a real test for the offense, and it was. And now I think you're going to get a real test for the defense and then kind of the meaty part of the schedule. So this may be a pretty entertaining game, but from a talent standpoint, Oregon is superior in most ways than Colorado.
I don't disagree. I mean, this is, again, one of those games we talked about it last week when we were talking about before the Cal game, that last week was going to be a test for the offense. How do they play against, a really good Cal defense. Yep. This is going to be a test for the defense. How do they play against a good Colorado offense? And then you get into 3 weeks of meat.
Yeah.
I mean, three weeks of at Washington.
Go time.
Exactly. A Washington team with their back against the wall on the road.
Something to prove.
The thing that I it makes me nervous is looking beyond this, a Friday night, short week.
Yeah. Weird things happen on Friday nights. At least it's at home.
Weird things happen in the league. Stanford just beat Washington. I mean, just this stuff
that's the
is
worst
so
loss
weird.
Of the Chris Peterson era. It really is. They got beaten by backups and freshmen. There were three freshmen that weren't supposed to even play this year that were started on the Stanford line, and UW got manhandled. That one blows me away. If you want to talk about a group that's frustrated about their offense, Oregon, look up in Seattle right now if you want to talk about a frustrating offense.
Yeah, that I always hesitate to say anything anti-Chris Peterson because I love the guy. Yeah. And this isn't it's not an anti-Chris Peterson, but I think he would be extremely – the first to say that he'd be extremely disappointed with how they played last week.
Well, I pointed out a couple years ago when they made the college football playoff, we thought that this was the jumping off point, mm-hmm. right? This is where Washington goes from being a good program to kind of where Oregon was under Chip Kelly and then Helfrich, right?
Right.
Every year you're the favorite to win the Pac-12. You're getting into the college football playoff. You're in that conversation. Since they made that appearance and they lost to Alabama, this has not been anywhere near as good. They've been an elite defensive team. Offensively, they struggle, and they're kind of like Stanford was during their run, where they've got one or two games every year where you just scratch your head and you say, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just looking at the numbers, the offensive numbers, and I think it's either yards or points. I know in points per game, Oregon's offense is 26th in the nation. Right, so that, like, we're sitting here griping about their offense.
A borderline top 25 offense.
Yeah, Washington, I think it's either points or yards, is 103rd.
Yeah.
So these two issues are not quite
perspective.
Equal.
Yeah. Perspective. Yeah.
But again, guarantee that's going to be a tough game in Seattle. I want to ask you about the defense. What's the best defense you've ever seen at Oregon, and does this defense have a chance to match that?
Ooh. Well, the only ones that come to mind are going to go, you know, the gangrene of 94.
Yeah.
The Haloti defense of, what would have been that, 05? No, because he came in 02, 03, 04, 04, like 03, 04.
Yeah.
But 04, they didn't make a bowl game, correct? That was the year where they lost to Indiana. And
the fumble game.
Oh, the Indiana game.
Yeah. But
that was the last time they were shut out in the first half at Autzen. Did you see that stat the other night?
I did.
That's unbelievable. I remember that game.
I did.
And that was the last time they got shut out in the first half at Autzen. But anyway, defense was good.
That defense was really good. You'd have to think if they continue to play like this, that this is, and I mean, so much of, I mean, you can be the best offense in the country and finish 7-5, you know, i.e. Texas Tech or sure. Washington State through the years, and nobody cares, yeah. right? If they continue to play like this and end up in the discussion, you know, let's say you don't make the playoff, you end up in the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think you have to put this defense, if they continue to play this way, as one of, if not the best. I mean,
so far, it's
an early.
We all want to take, the same we do in the NFL, right? We all want to take snapshots after 4 or 5 games, when the truth of the matter is we'll know more in the next 4 weeks about this Oregon
yes.
defense than we learned in the previous 5.
Agreed.
So if they're playing this way after another 5, if you're giving up 10 points a game, I think it's 9.5
they're
right
under
now.
They are under 10 points a game right now. I'd say if you stay under 2 touchdowns, if you yes. stay under 14 a
then
game,
you belong in that
again,
conversation.
Against Washington State, yeah. USC,
yeah.
if you keep them under 20 points and yeah. you stay kind of at that 14 point average, that's a hell of a defense.
And you look at what Avalos has done in just his first year there. And you can see the mentality, the schemes. There isn't blown coverages, and that's a big one that jumps out at me. Just the discipline.
Yes.
Of in the years past, I think this has been a look. It's been a team that's been prone to blown coverages and blown assignments, and you just don't see it. This team plays hard. They play fast. It's aggressive. It's multiple, but it's sound. You're not getting beat on stupid mental errors.
And they have good players.
Yes.
At every
that
level.
Helps. At every
helps.
Single level.
Holland
is a big-time NFL player.
I'm telling you, the kicking thing is going to come back to bite them. You heard it here
I
first.
I hope not.
I know. Didn't that suck?
I hope
if
not.
It comes out of that.
Go ask Washington the last 2 years. If Washington has a kicker, Washington's undefeated last year. You know, kicking can be a big deal, and you're going to play in some close games.
So, Joey Harrington, have you ever, because I know you watch some NFL, have you ever seen so many bad penalties called? And is it as obnoxious to you as it is to seemingly everyone else?
Yes. But the asterisk in this is, with all of the rule changes that they have made through the years and the way those have been applied, and some for safety, I get it. Completely understand. It leaves me wondering if I know what pass interference is anymore? I mean, I truly, you know, you say it's a bad call, right? Okay. Well, it's a bad call based on what we have known for 30, 40 years of watching and playing football. Is that how the rule is now being interpreted? I don't know. I mean, there was a call the other day where I thought it was a hell of a play by the defender. I mean, we're talking about, it was an under, you know, ball slightly underthrown. I think it was in the Seattle, game. But anyway, you know, ball comes in on the DB's back, who's got his back to the quarterback. And as it comes, like, he turns and swats it away. I mean, I thought it was perfect. Textbook. It was in the Dallas game. It was in the Dallas game because Jason led to, you know.
Oh, that led to the penalty.
My guys, yeah, that's about as angry as Jason Garrett gets. Let me take this red flag and throw it at your feet. But I don't know what a penalty is anymore.
Roughing the passer, I think, MPI. Those are really confusing.
Yes.
They're really confusing.
So, yes, I do think there have been some terrible calls based on how I interpret the rules. But I think what they need to do is, you know, there's been so much change over the last 4 or 5 years that I don't think that there is a foundation to know what is good and what is bad. I think we're going to need a couple more years of clarification before we say, all right, this is PI, this isn't PI. This is roughing the passer, this isn't roughing the passer. And I will say that I think referees are erring on the throw the flag side. Mm-hmm. They're erring on the, yes, that's pass interference, yes, that's roughing the passer.
Maybe they should err the other way.
Well, but I guess you can.
Can refute it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I think is the stupidest thing is, I don't care if it has resulted in good calls or not. I think challenging a pass interference call is the dumbest thing that you could do. I can't believe they would let somebody challenge that penalty. I'm sorry. That is
too subjective.
Too absolutely.
Yeah, to me it makes more sense to challenge the roughing the quarterback because I don't think it's as subjective. Did you hit him in the knees? Did you hit him in the head? To me, that's a yes or no. But when you look at like Lamar Jackson, you know, that it led to a game tying field goal. Guy hit him in the thighs, wrapped him up, slid down to his legs as he was falling down, got the flag thrown on him. Clay Matthews, that hit directly led to a score when clearly it was a shoulder. See, those to me, if you're going to review a penalty, those make a lot more sense because to me, those aren't nearly as subjective as pass interference. Well, I'm with you. I don't know anymore. When I watch MPI it, I can't tell you when they review a call. I have no idea whether or not it's going to be overturned.
And they're not changing them, right? Like the PI calls, it seems like when they review them, you go, oh, well, they'll change that.
Nope.
Never do.
No.
It's so weird.
It's confusing to me.
It is very confusing.
But it doesn't take much to confuse you.
No, it doesn't.
We've established
that's right.
That.
Yes. But fans,
the number
know,
of flags, it is making it hard.
You know what, though?
To watch games.
The hard part about this is, football people like yourselves and just dumb fans like me, give me a headset, I'll handle it. Call into me. Because right, like we all are sitting there on the couch and we see it and it's so obvious to us. It's like, oh, that is or isn't. It's like, what? No, in real time it's much harder, but I just mean that it's just so, this is why it's such a heated debate, is because everybody thinks
they know.
They know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what, 25 years ago when they had instant replay and then got so sick of it that they got rid of it completely? Yeah. Do you guys remember that?
I don't remember that.
I remember when I was a kid that they used to have a form of instant replay and then they said, scrap it. I'm out. We're done. And there was a good maybe 10 years without it. I wonder if we're going to get to that point where everybody gets so sick of all these delays and all of this garbage not insecurity, but the lack of clarity that they just said, forget it. We're going back. No technology.
Going dark.
Yeah, we're going back.
Thank you, Joey. Good to see you.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of nice to see us, right?
Always nice to see you.
Thanks.
I missed you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, this has been tough these 3 weeks.
I know.
When this messes over, we should, you know, I miss your musk.
Yeah,
I miss your smell.
Well, let's go get a place up at the mountain.
There you go.
Yeah,
we should get an apartment together, like Ron Burgundy said.
All right, so Joey in studio every Friday at 5:30.
Today's
but
not
this
Friday.
Week is because of the Colorado game on Friday. So thank you for making your schedule flexible. We'll talk to you next Friday. Coming up next, The Club on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.